In Matthew, the 13th chapter, in the 15th verse, Jesus shares these words: "For this people's heart has grown dull, and their ears are heavy of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should perceive with their eyes and hear with their ears and understand with their hearts and turn for me to heal them." You know, sometimes we listen, but we don't hear. Or we hear and don't listen. I mean, if you're a school teacher or a teacher's assistant or a parent, you know all about that. You know, the words came through, but somehow somebody missed the meaning. Now, we have heard that God was pleased with his son before. Where did we hear pretty much the same phrase? It was at his baptism, wasn't it? The sky opened up, a dove descended upon Jesus, and we heard the words, "This is my son with whom I am well pleased." But God shares that word again. He shares it not because Jesus needs it. He shares it because the future leaders of the church need to hear that in a very special way. And he adds to that phrase, "Hear him." Don't just listen and be aware that he's talking. Hear what he has to say. Get the meaning. I don't know about you, but sometimes I wish I had a mountaintop experience like that with the Lord. That the sky just brightened up and I heard a voice. You know, it would make this thing called faith a lot easier, don't you think? If you had had that kind of experience. But you know, the Lord just hadn't chosen to allow me to have quite that kind of experience. I've had some pretty wonderful experiences of the presence of the Lord in my life. But never anything quite so dramatic. And I think all of us who are Christian kind of long for that. Lord, if you're really real, why don't you, you know, do something really special to let me know it? But he's there all the time. And he tells us, hear, truly hear what my son has to say, because what he has to say will transform your lives just as the three of you have seen him transformed right before your eyes. You can change too. You can be a new person. You can live a new life. There is more to life than you're experiencing now. Hear him. I've already shared this with the Bible study group and told them that I was going to share this today. And, you know, kind of ask them if they thought that would be all right, mind hearing it twice. But, you know, I heard the Lord in a special way Tuesday, 2 weeks ago. I went to my regular Bible study session with some brothers and sisters who are ministers in Christ, as we do each Tuesday afternoon. We were studying the gospel lesson for the week, which is our primary focus every time we get together. And we read and listened to a scripture I've heard all my life. In the 5th chapter of the Gospel of Matthew, beginning with the 3rd verse, the Beatitudes. I want to read those to you. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when men revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so men persecuted the prophets who were before you. As we listened to those verses, almost at the same moment, John Woodard and I, it seemed, had the same thought, but he spoke first and said, you know, these Beatitudes are progressive. One builds on the other. And I said, you know, I was having the same thought, and I'd never seen that before. They're not just a string of good sayings. They're a progression of the spiritual life. And you do one and then the other, and you build on that and then the other. And then he asked a question. And it was such an important question. And that's why it's good to get together and study God's Word, because sometimes together we discover things that we would never discover studying God's Word alone. He said, what I don't understand is why the first beatitude and basically the last beatitude have the same reward. For theirs is the kingdom of heaven. All of the others are different. Why is that so? And just out of the blue it came to me, because it's circular. It's just that when you get to the end, you go back to the beginning and you start all over again. You see, that's the way Easterners think. They think circularly. Now, that circular thinking it goes around like this, but it's also moving in time. It's moving along through history. But they have a sense of seeing that life circles around, and we do too. We don't really teach that view that much in school, but our sayings show that we believe it. We say, well, what goes around comes around. Well, you sow what you reap. I mean, we've got all kinds of sayings that say that there's something about life that's circular. You know, men, hold on to your ties. The skinny ones will come back. You know, ties just seem to change and designs change. Ladies, that's why guys don't get rid of their ties. You know, sooner or later, they're coming back. But isn't it the same thing with your styles? Haven't some of you lived long enough to see the styles circle back around? And boy, that's the way it was 20 years ago. You know, I noticed this year there were a lot of mini skirts. Well, I've seen that before. Back in the 60s, I think, was when the mini skirts first came out. Well, maybe that's the first time they came out that I noticed. You know, maybe 100 years before there were mini skirts. I don't know. But there are things in life that seem to be circular. They seem to go around and come back and start again. And that Tuesday afternoon, we realize that the truth of God's Word, what we heard in the Word, was something that those sitting around the table, none of us had ever heard before. The Beatitudes are a step-by-step way to live the spiritual life that Jesus wants us to live. And when we get to the end, we go back again. Now, what's at the end of the Beatitudes? Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Is there anyone in this sanctuary this morning who hasn't been persecuted and criticized sometime in your life when you really hadn't done anything wrong? I'd be surprised if there's anyone here. I mean, even children have gone through that. Sometimes it's the parents doing the accusing. We've all felt persecuted. We've all felt like we've been wrongly or unjustly accused of things. And what happens when that kind of situation comes into our lives? We've really got two choices. We can get angry about it and let our anger take the lead, or we can be spiritual about it. Well, how in the world do you get spiritual about being persecuted? The first way to become spiritual about being given a hard time when you didn't deserve it is realizing that you don't have the spiritual strength to deal with it. Blessed are the poor in spirit. Lord, I'd like to deal with this without getting mad. I'd like to not have these feelings of revenge in my heart. I'd like to restrain myself from going in there and telling them off or doing this or doing that. But my spiritual life just isn't what it needs to be. And yet, if I can admit that, if I can admit my spiritual poverty, I am on the path of hearing my Lord and my Christ. And then I can go to the next step. Blessed are those who mourn. I can mourn what I've been through, what I've dealt with, how it's hurt me, how it may have hurt others. I can really grieve over that because God promises me I'll be comforted. And when I've been comforted, I can be humble. I can be meek. You know, this is contrary to what the world teaches. You know, you got to be tough. You got to stand your ground. Don't let anybody get in your way. And if they do, get even with them. Yet, when we're persecuted, Jesus says, turn the other cheek. Become humble and meek. I mean, you're dealing with a proud, maybe even a vicious, vindictive person, and Jesus says, be humble. And you know why? Because when we can be humble, then we get our focus right. And we start looking to God. We go to the next level. We start hungering and thirsting for righteousness because we know that in this body, in this mind, I don't have the strength of spirit or intellect or energy to handle this alone. Lord, I need you. So I'm going to hunger and thirst for righteousness. I'm going to hunger and thirst for what you can give me so I can be the person you've called me to be, with the assurance that I'll be filled with the Word and the presence of God, then I can be merciful. I can stand in the presence of the person who's persecuted me, given me a hard time, teased me and ridiculed me at school, a boss who's given me a hard time on the job. My son's been dealing with that in his job. And I shared these words with him. And you can be merciful towards these people because you're living on what God has fed you, not what the world's fed you. You've received the mercy of God, so you're going to give it to others whether they appreciate it or not. Why? Because that's the godly thing to do. And then you can approach life with a pure heart. Blessed are the pure in heart. For that's the only way we'll see God. Peter, James, and John saw him. Maybe when they accepted Moses and Elijah there on the mountain. For a moment, they had a pure heart, and they were able to see the presence of God That bright cloud was the Shekinah, the glory of God. And yet, when they came into its presence, they were so afraid. When we have a pure heart, we have a chance of seeing our God. When we have a pure heart, we have the courage to become peacemakers in our world. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons and daughters of God. When God has built us up like this, after we've been persecuted, ridiculed, teased, taunted, we can be a peacemaker. And what does that get you? It gets people talking about you and persecuting you again. That's what it gets you. And you start all over. This is my beloved Son, whom I love and with whom I am well pleased. Hear Him. Hear Him. I thank God for Tuesday, week before last. After 55 years, I heard God in the Beatitudes in a way I never, never heard before. And He's given me a way to live my life better for Him because I think I heard the meaning there. We're going to take each one of these starting next Wednesday night in our Ash Wednesday service, and through the season of Lent, a time of self-examination, we're going to examine what does it mean as a Christian to deal with each of these Beatitudes. What does that mean for our Christian journey? We invite you to come and share that and grow closer to God, to hear Him as He would teach us from the Word how to live a life that's so radically different from the way the world lives. We too can be transfigured, transformed by the renewal of our minds in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Gracious Father, Your Word is power. It has changed the world and it can change our lives. It can comfort us to face the difficulties of day-to-day living if we will just hear You. Not just listen to it being read, but hear the meaning. Take it into our lives. Follow it. And find the newness of life. Blessing. Happiness. Joy. Because we hear the Word that Your Son so faithfully taught. We thank You for loving us enough to share Your Word with us, that our lives might be blessed through Christ our Lord. Amen.